This meeting of Glen City Council will come to order Monday, January 9th. And may I remind everyone, if you have a cell phone and staff also, please turn off your phones. It interferes with our sound system. Thank you. And we'll have a moment of silence, please. Please join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ashley will have the oath of office first.
All right, yes, we need to do that.
We can have Kent Offinger, Clark Kochner, and Dennis Olson. Okay, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I do.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Blaine Council.
Of the office of City of Blaine Council.
Ward 2, Position 3.
Ward 2, Position 3.
And for the County of Whatcom.
And for the County of Whatcom.
State of Washington.
State of Washington.
According to law and the best of my abilities.
According to law and the best of my abilities.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Ken Offinger.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Blaine Council.
Of the office of City of Blaine Council.
Ward 1, Position 1.
Ward 1, Position 1.
And for the County of Whatcom.
And for the County of Whatcom.
State of Washington.
State of Washington.
According to law and the best of my ability.
According to law and the best of my ability.
Okay. Congratulations. There we go. Okay, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Clark Kochner.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
The Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Perform and discharge the duties.
Of the office of City of Blaine Council.
The office of City of Blaine Council.
Ward 3, Position 5.
Ward 3, Position 5.
And for the County of Whatcom.
And for the County of Whatcom.
State of Washington.
State of Washington.
According to law and the best of my ability.
According to law and the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam.
I speak to you.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Dennis.
Welcome aboard. Shake your hand.
All right.
Okay, now roll call.
Okay, yes, please.
Okay, Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Dave Robinson.
Here.
Bob Bob Onion.
Here.
Ken Offizer.
Here.
Barb Cotner.
Here.
And Paul Greenham.
Here.
Okay. First order of business is organizational meeting, and this year we will be electing a mayor and mayor pro tem. Those are two-year terms, and it's the 2 years is up. And so I will entertain any nominations for mayor, first of all.
I'll nominate Bonnie.
Thank you.
Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Robinson.
Okay. We have two nominations. Anyone else? Anyone want to move nominations be closed?
Aye. So moved.
So moved? Okay. So all in favor of Bonnie Onion for mayor, raise your hand. All in favor of Harry Robinson for mayor? Okay. Harry it is. Mayor pro tem is next. Nomination?
Paul Greenow.
Okay. Anyone else?
I nominate Bonnie.
Okay. I decline.
Okay.
That's all right. So, all in favor of Paul for mayor pro tem, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion carried. And we move on to Harry. Let's switch. You've got the meeting from here on in.
Good. We really have to switch, and then we can. Then we just.
Yeah.
Okay. Coffee cup first.
Switch cups here.
Next order of business is going to be committee assignments. And do we want to make those now?
Forgive it.
City Manager, do we want to make those, or do we make those at the next meeting?
Well,
has everyone had an opportunity? Because no one's really had an opportunity to think about them.
We can keep
most of them. I don't think that there's any particular problem if you wait till the next meeting.
Okay. And does everyone have an idea as to what committees you would like to be on? Could we maybe go through these have someone suggest whether they'd like to be on it? How about the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee? Clark, would anyone else like that? Okay, Clark will be on the Blaine Advisory Committee. What about the Northwest Economic Council? That probably should be Clark as well.
I'll take that also, yeah.
Okay.
If no one else wants it.
Okay. Chamber of Commerce?
Bonnie, you interested in that?
Well, I was wondering, would you be able to come up? Would that be a problem?
Well,
once
just
a month?
Yeah. I mean, if no one else wants to do it, I'll certainly do it, but I
probably would I'm rather
sure
do something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are folks who were here during that time that I had to make a special trip back up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Understandable. I can take that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, Bonnie, we'll do that one.
Yep.
Whatcom Transit Authority?
I'm enjoying that.
Okay. Anyone else? Any objections to Paul Tanning in that one? The Marine Reserves Committee? Paul, you're...
I'm willing to do it, but if anybody else would like it, I'd happily pass it on.
When does it meet?
Thursdays at 7 o'clock. I think it's the first Thursday of the month. And it's in Bellingham.
That meeting's in Bellingham.
That is correct.
Paul, would you agree to remain on that committee?
In the absence of anybody else, yes.
Okay. The next is BTAC. Anyone interested in doing that?
I
do. Oh, bless your heart.
There's a meeting tomorrow morning at 7:30 in the morning. I promised I would go to that, so.
Okay.
Okay, so. And the Red Loan Committee? Anyone interested?
I would like to do that, if that's all right.
Any other in-person interested? Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee, Charlie?
Yep.
Okay, Library Committee, Dennis?
Yeah.
Okay. Planning Commission, Michael Jones. You still interested in that? Okay. I think all the rest are...
Barnes and Taylor.
Law and Justice.
Question for you,
Harry. Pardon?
Is there a possibility of the senior center somehow being on this group committees? Since we've got a bit of an involvement over there now.
Sort of like in a liaison kind of capacity. Just.
We don't have any formal committee that I know of that would cover that. Mm-hmm. Michael? Do we have any group that would handle the senior center? Is that part of any committees?
It's kind of like, it would be kind of like the library.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good idea because we do own the facility and we spend a lot of money up there. Mm-hmm. With a primary source of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's an excellent idea that we have a liaison with the senior center.
Can we establish a committee? Do we have to formally establish?
You don't have to have a committee. They have a board of directors. And I think what Dennis is suggesting is that just kind of like the library board or the chamber board or anything like that, he might attend a few of their meetings and bring issues to the council. We don't have to establish anything.
Okay. Dennis, would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, Charlie was. Are you interested in that, Charlie?
The library, if you want that.
I'm interested in the senior center because I think I qualify.
I'm way too young.
Just barely.
Charlie doesn't qualify. Is that right, Charlie? Okay. Well, then, Charlie, you want to do the library?
Yeah.
Sherry, can we add on to our list the senior center, and then Dennis can provide us with a report each? Okay, super. Okay, and then small cities and Whatcom Council of Governments, I assume I'll be involved in those.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is because of my paid duties, I'm at small cities all the time, so like I'm more happy to take that and save you.
Well, it's small cities is comprised of mayors.
Yeah.
So
I think you can designate whoever you want to. I'm just offering it up. So.
And you can do that on COG as well.
Yeah. My suggestion is that that the mayor be part of that group. They're all everyone else are mayors.
Yeah, especially small cities. That's right.
Okay, everybody satisfied with any comments, suggestions? Okay, we ready to go, Sherry, with that? Have we got all that down pat?
So the Whatcom Council.
Here.
Yep.
Harry, you're going to do both
of
them.
Yep.
Your Honor, if I could, just so we have it on the record, would you like me to continue on with the Law
yes.
and Justice?
Yes, sir.
Commission? Thank you.
And same with Michael on the Parks and Cemetery and Planning Commission. Thank you. Next item of business is recognition and awards, and I believe there are none. Is that correct, Sherry?
There are none.
Okay. Audience participation. Do we have a... Well, we're running back to see if we have a sign-up sheet. Okay. We have two people who have indicated that they would like to speak tonight. If you would come forward to the podium. And
I don't have anything to say right now. Refrain unless there's something that I need to comment.
And is that both of you as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you very much. Anyone else that would like to participate in the audience participation? See no one? Okay. Next item on the business is written communications. And it looks like we have a slew of those. I don't believe that's necessary. Does everyone have copies? Would anyone like to have Sherry discuss any of those items?
I have a question about one of the letters.
Okay.
From whoever Jesse Kane is, and what are the implications about this going around the state trying to change the city's gun laws?
I hate to say this, Charlie, but I was listening to Bill Miller.
Jesse Kane, have you seen that about our code for carrying firearms?
I don't have any direct knowledge about what his interest is, so okay. I'd have to defer at this point.
Yeah, he sent a letter to us. You probably should look at it.
Do we have the letter?
We did.
I have a copy of it.
This is at home.
Yeah.
I think we all got a copy of it. It was
that
an email.
That was last week's. Yeah,
perhaps Sherry, you could read that letter, email. If you don't mind. I think it's important we address this.
It's item 4 on here.
Right here, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It says it's an error in one of this.
I think it was from last.
It's dated December 21st. Yeah.
It is email from Jesse Kane, dated Wednesday, December 21st. And it is to the Blaine City Council. The subject is Title 9. It's 9.32.090. Hello, I was reading up on some of the City of Blaine code and have run into an error in one of subsections Title 9. 9.32.090, source 1, bottom page. In Washington State, I'm sure you know that state law has preemption over local laws on firearms ownership in Washington State. Here's the RCW pertaining to this, and that's source section 2 at the bottom of the page. And I will, source section 1 is the city's code 9.32.090, source section 2 is RCW 9.41.240 regarding possession of pistol by person from 18 to 21. Let's see here. Now I know that the RCW is only for possession, so we must look towards federal law under Title 18 U.S.C. 922 Unlawful Acts. As you can see, the only restriction on selling a handgun to those above 18 is placed on federal firearm licensed dealers, FFLs. There is no law pertaining to restricting private party transactions, and that's why I ask you to change it to reflect the reality of the situation.
He is right that the state has assumed control of all firearms regulations within Washington State, and we will comply with state law. We'll review that with the city attorney, and to any extent that we are not in compliance, this might be somewhat similar to the issue that we had with parks. We had an ordinance that said you can't carry a weapon inside a park. Unfortunately, state law rules, and there actually had been specific case law, I believe out of King County or Seattle, on point in that regard. We will, where necessary, bring ourselves in compliance with state law on those points.
I would point out one error. It may be that the city classifies it as a misdemeanor. It may actually be a felony under state law. There is a statute, and you have to read a series of statutes together, and Blaine's kind of morphs them together, and we can review that. But 941080 of the state criminal code prohibits the delivery of a firearm to an ineligible person. So we have to go back and review what ineligible person is. And I believe the ineligible person includes a number of those in the standard under the Blaine Code, of those convicted of crime, drug addiction, habitual drunkenness, committed to a mental institution. The question I don't have is whether it also includes someone under 21. That's what we'll have to look at. But it would classify it as a misdemeanor, which under state law is
a felony anyway, so we may be a provision that would never be enforced anyways in the city of Blaine, so it's...
So who, does anybody know who this person is who has great concern over our firearms?
Is it a citizen?
Only a person who lives in the area who has a concern. We'll do what we can to address that concern.
From Blaine?
From the Blaine area.
Charlie, is that, are you satisfied with that?
Yes.
Anyone else have any questions regarding any of the correspondence that we've received?
Mayor, I do want to add that since the agenda went out, we did get three new letters. One is from Dodd Snodgrass with the Port of Bellingham regarding the Ball Report commercial access. There's a letter from Joan Poisington, City of Bellingham City Attorney, regarding termination of the interlocal agreement for emergency management services. And a new email from Bill Beck regarding D Street on-ramp traffic change plans. And a new letter from Kenneth Rathel, who provided that letter today regarding the withdrawal of his application for the planning commission.
Will those go online? Will those letters go online?
The ones that were already on there have been online, and we do scan the additional letters, and we put it in LaserDish. We could add it and leave that up there for an extra week's agenda if you want.
I think it would be appropriate, because that's where I get my communication through the Internet, so it would be helpful if we had a chance to review those, and if we have any comments, we can make them at the next meeting. Okay. Next item of business is the Commission, Committee, and Board reports. Number one is the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee. And John was in charge of that, so I think we'll pass on any comment until Clark gets on board. Same thing with the Northwest Economic Council. Chamber of Commerce.
That was John
as well. Mm-hmm. Whatcom Transit Board, Paul.
Lest you think I was shirking, I was on my way to the meeting in December and hit a deer going to Bellingham. So beg your forgiveness in not attending the meeting.
Okay. How about the Marine Resource?
No report.
No report. The next is BTAC. There is a meeting tomorrow at 7:30, and we really have nothing other than to report, other than we planned that meeting for the start of 2012. So hopefully Ken will have a report following his opportunity to become familiar with the BTAC committee. Red Loan, Jeff?
I have received one application, so we'll need to set the meeting.
Okay, we have one application. Charlie, on the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee?
There will be a meeting this month. 2 weeks.
Okay. Library Committee, Dennis?
No report.
Planning Commission, Michael?
The Planning Commission and the Park and Cemetery Board have not had meetings since your last meeting, so no report.
Okay. Law and Justice Council, Mike?
There's not been a meeting, and so I have no report.
Okay. And Bonnie, do you have anything on the Small City Caucus and the Washington Council of Governments?
Yeah, not really, but I do have a schedule of the meetings to give you. And they will be, one of the main things before the group is in search of a new executive director.
Okay.
So, actually I have another. Those are the dates. And the city is on the full council and policy board. Okay. So these are the dates on these two columns here.
Okay.
Okay.
Are there any other council reports?
Small cities. Does Gary have anything?
Gary, do you have anything to add on the small cities?
I have a meeting coming up next Tuesday. But
Nothing other than that.
Thank you. Okay, city manager and staff reports.
Okay, let's start out with Public Works, and Bill has a couple items.
The first report about the Harbor Shores step system agreement, which the city signed with the Harbor Shores Sewer Association on December 15th. Basically, it's been proposed that we approach the proponents and add a clause that would allow for specific adjustment to the base flow rate per household after probably each of the first 2 years. The idea is that in order to establish the rate in that agreement, we had to assume a base flow rate per household because it's based off of proportionate proportions to our normal city rate. And it's going to be a metered flow for the entire development as a wholesale agreement. And don't have any houses built yet. It's not in. And so we don't really have any data. We, you know, made our best assumption, or what we felt was our best assumption. And part of this we found in the agreement that we don't have a clause in there that will let us take the data we gather, whether it's after a year or 2 years, and establish what the average effluent flow per household is, which is how we, the methodology of which we base our rate off of. So what we want to do is establish both a clause that would allow us specifically to do that, as well as potentially do a year-end true-up if that's necessary based on what the flow and what the rate is for the customers out there. And so that's something we'll come forward to you as for an approval to amend that agreement at an appropriate time in the future, but we want to update you that that's the effort we're going to move forward with. Anything else on that, Gary?
I don't think so. Dennis and Bill and I, Matt, kind of talked through this and feel like that, you know, this is the right course to take. It's
it'll just make the agreement more robust.
Yeah. As Bill said, basically what it does, it provides an opportunity in the agreement that's currently not there or clearly stated, that we have, that we can monitor the volumes in the system and make adjustments based upon those, what we're seeing. And Dennis's concern is that the numbers we're using are too high, and the only way we'll really know that is to use the information that's presented. So we're going to work with the Harbor Shores folks and try to see if we are able to make some adjustments to the agreement to deal with the issues that Dennis has brought up. And frankly, I think makes sense.
Dennis, do you have any comments you'd like to make regarding?
The only concern I had when this all started was that the rates looked to me like they were twice, the volume of water they were talking about treating was twice what it actually is or will be. And that was based on looking at the study that was done for the city that estimated that for a sewer you would use 600 cubic feet per month. And then I started looking at what, if you're looking at a septic system, what does the county talk about in terms of volume of water per day for a family, the 2.3 family. And it turns out to be about 138 gallons per day. And I looked at the stuff from the state, and they come up with the same numbers. And 138 is about half of 275. Yeah. So I don't know.
whether there was a, the numbers were taken from a 2 month period or what. And I questioned that, and that's where we are at, is trying to figure this out.
Are you satisfied that we'll come up with the right solution?
Well, the numbers shouldn't lie, but we won't know unless we get some numbers, I guess. Whether that takes, you know, more than one, having one hookup or not, that's a question. Okay. And I guess the other thing is that I got, in kind of looking at this whole thing, the amount of water that's used in a domestic way, in other words, washing, cooking, etc., is not the average. If you took your water bills for the months and average for the year, that includes irrigation water during the summer. And what I understood from any of these systems, that is never taken into account. Even if you go to the cities that are monitoring or metering the sewage, they never use the average water use. They use what they call the winter months, which would basically be the months that you're not irrigating anything. So you're getting a pretty true reading of what goes into the system. And that would hold for whether you use a septic tank or we're on a sewer line. So that's where I am.
Okay, Bill.
Okay. And the next is to give a quick update on our Phase 3 wastewater conveyance project we have going on right now. And part of this is to talk a little bit about the slip line proofer pipe that was, I guess, got stuck, jammed, whatever, in October, and the change order that was going to come for those change conditions to get it unstuck. We are reviewing that change order right now, and it's at about $93,000 of extra work at that point for that slip line. For those council that aren't familiar with this, what we did in October when we were getting ready to slip line the pipe that's going to bring the sewage from Semiahmoo underneath the harbor, what they did is originally we put a pig through that strung the rope and strings that would allow us to attach the plasma line to pull in through the pipe. And what they did is they stuck a 40-foot length of the HDPE pipe on the back of, it's why it's called a proofer pipe. And as it came back up out of the harbor on the Marine Drive side, the bend ended up was actually broken and faulty. And so as the proofer pipe came up through it, it actually kinked it and it stuck and it got stuck. So we were limited in being able to fix that portion of pipe and take the proofer pipe out. It actually broke the line when they tried to pull it back through backwards during only extreme low tides. They were able to successfully repair the pipe, remove the proofer pipe, and then finish the slip lining in the following month. But in doing that, took quite a bit of extra work and extra repair to the pipe. And so that's where we're at with the change order. Right now, the status of the project, we have the anode well for the cathodic protection. I'm sorry, I always have problems with that word. For the lift station on the Semiahmoo spit side, that's been completed. The work on the Marine Drive side has now been also completed, and the paving patches to Marine Drive and the port facility parking lot has all been completed as well. So now the rest of their work is primarily on the spit. They've been concurrent. So basically, we'll begin installing at this time the 10-inch and the 14-inch sewage lines, both at the end of the spit and on the wastewater treatment plant side to get ready for that changeover. Right now, they're also constructing the wet well and the lift station at the sewage treatment plant. There's a conversion of the chlorine contact chamber that we're going through, and that will pump all of Semiahmoo's fluid towards the new treatment plant at that time. So we're hoping our target date is February 3rd, February 10th, for having all of that new facility tested and ready to do the switchover so that we will bring all of the wastewater in the city into the new treatment plant at that time. And after that point, the next thing will be we'll begin demoing and decommissioning the old plant and starting to finish that part of the project, and then installing the pumps to be able to deliver reclaimed water to the golf course. And then that's after that is the last piece of the project. So we're hoping, it's difficult to construct things in the winter with the wet weather we have, but one of our main goals is to not be operating two treatment plants at the same time, which is what we've been doing for the last year and a half. And that's why we've moved forward to get this changeover done as soon as possible. I guess, is there any questions?
Yeah.
That's real brief, but...
Are they hauling back now the spoils from that were originally dug out?
Not yet. That's at this point in time, not part of this contract, because not all of them are done sifted yet. We may utilize some of that capability to fill in the original hole for the clarifier that was dug, 12 years ago. Portions of the decommissioning involve bringing in import material to fill in the, I'll just call them the different chambers that we have for the aeration basin and whatnot in the plant that's currently there now. But that doesn't, at this time, include bringing back the soil that was sifted.
But that pipe is, I understood that pipe was going to be, they were not going to dig it down.
So no, we are putting everything above ground and putting it in berms. That's correct.
Yeah, that's
and then we have our, but part of the decommissioning of the old plant, we have our clarifiers that are partially underground. Those will be demolished and then brought up with basically a gravel borrow material. And we may put in, concrete and some different things in the bottoms of those holes too. But that doesn't include reinterring, I guess you'd call, the archaeological soil that needs to go back in.
Yeah, I understood the sifting had been finished.
Okay. It hasn't been finished entirely from what I understand. There's some of the, I know there's two piles right now that are actually on the wastewater treatment plant site that are currently being sifted and are in some stage of completion. And then from what I understand, I don't know the exact figure, but is about 80% of what's on Larry Friedman's property has been sifted. There's still
I saw Larry the other day, and he said it was finished. So
and it may have changed since I've last known about it, but they're always working towards that.
Any other questions?
Okay. We have, today we received two communications, one from Bill Beck and the other one from Blaine Bouquet, regarding the word around town is that the D Street on-ramp is going to be closed. And there's some, rightfully, some concern about that if in fact it if it occurs. We want to kind of be ahead of this issue so that it doesn't become kind of an out of control public relations issue. And so I'm going to ask Mike, who's been very involved with the Canadian customs folks in WashDOT. Bill and Mike and I met with WashDOT a while back to kind of give you an update as to what the heck is going on and what we're seeing from the city standpoint. So, Mike?
Just to refresh your memory, part of this began a few months ago during the fall when Canadian Customs let us know that they were experiencing more and more complaints of aggressive drivers, really frustrated folks, small fender benders, and even fist fights, usually occurring in the Nexus lanes at the point where the Nexus lane traffic was being blocked by cars that were attempting to get into the general purpose lanes, both on Interstate 5 north of D Street and also on the truck route north of D Street, kind of down on the flats adjacent to the brokerages and the duty-free houses. The severity of those complaints increased over a period of a couple of months to the point where, for lack of anyone else able to intervene, we, the Blaine Police Department, started placing extra personnel there on weekends and during high-intensity border backups to mitigate those problems. Most of the problems occurred when folks attempting to go back to Canada used the Nexus lane for some distance and then attempted to merge into the general purpose lanes and weren't able to. Human nature being what it is, if you've been sitting in that general purpose lane for an hour or two and you see someone fly up the ramp next to you and try to squeeze in front, well, you're tempted not to let them in. Unfortunately, that blocks the Nexus lane, and you'll stack up 5 or 10 cars behind you of bona fide Nexus travelers who can't use the lane, and spirits were getting pretty hot as a result of that. We stationed officers up there during periods of border backups to mitigate that, to try to show an official presence, to try to bring back to the table a feeling that, yes, there is law and order here, and mind your P's and Q's, and let's all be civil and get home together. That worked well, we think. We got to the point where we didn't have to be there all of the time. We were just putting an intermittent presence there. And actually, the federal government, through a CBP grant, was helping us with some of the overtime to get that done. It was part of their way of helping with community safety. Here, about a month ago, we ran into two issues. One was that on the truck route, Customs Canada found the need and had to move their Nexus lane from the lane closest to the building, the very furthest outside lane, the one furthest away from their port of entry. That brings it into the same standard that you now see, have always seen it at the Douglas crossing, at the I-5 crossing, where you see those Nexus lanes as far away from the building as possible. And that makes sense because that is it's low threat traffic that you want to keep moving, and you don't want to have all of your other general purpose lanes having to cross that Nexus lane to get to the building. So Customs Canada has moved their Nexus lane to the outside. That required WSDOT, Washington State Department of Transportation, to move the Nexus lane on our side of the on the truck route to the inside lane in order to line up the traffic lanes so that traffic northbound on the truck route was in the right lane as it approached the Canadian boundary. At the same time this was happening, we had an exceptional holiday season when it comes to cross-border traffic. We had a lot of people coming and going crossing the border. We very much want to facilitate that traffic as much as possible. We want folks coming through Blaine to have a great experience in doing so. We don't want them frustrated. If you have to sit in line, it's well maintained and you get through as quick as you can. We don't want you to risk having fist fights or fender benders or just going home with a bad taste in your mouth. And we want folks to use the Nexus lanes as much as possible. We would like to be part of the advertisement of how great it is to have your Nexus card. Blocking those Nexus lanes does not speak well of that whole endeavor. So we had an awful lot of traffic on the truck route this last month at the exact same time that Canada Customs and WSDOT had to move that Nexus lane. In order to help facilitate the Nexus traffic, WSDOT had installed a sign northbound on the truck route north of H Street that indicated the off-ramp was for use for Nexus folks. It didn't say Nexus only, it just said Nexus traffic. And it was to facilitate Nexus traffic having a way of going up the off-ramp, across D Street, and then back down, and then having a much clearer shot for the Canadian crossing, because they would then be in line to use that border. We ended up with an awful lot of general purpose traffic northbound folks headed to Canada using that off-ramp as well and clogging it up. We ended up in a situation during the heavy holiday hours of, again, stationing a police officer at the top of that ramp and acting as a traffic control person, and at some times limiting the traffic on the ramp to the Nexus card holders only, because that was the only way to keep the traffic flowing in that Nexus lane once they headed down. General purpose traffic was welcome to either use the Peace Arch crossing, and there were no restrictions on that on-ramp at D and 2nd Street, or to circle back and get to the end of the line where you just join the traffic. So, unfortunately, I think in part because of those the mobile information sign, the variable message signs that indicated Nexus, some folks took that to mean Nexus only, and we're trying to put the word out that is not what that means. Bill and I are continuing our discussions daily with WSDOT and with the CBSA folks, who are very interested in maintaining and improving the traffic flow at both ports. They have an extended effort to make people realize that you can do passenger car traffic at the truck crossing just as well as on I-5. They want to facilitate passenger car traffic at both in order to maximize the number of passenger lanes that can be used to get people across the border as quickly as possible. Long term, I think we'll be successful at that. We have some management of perceptions to take care of. We have some frank discussions to be having about how much the city of Blaine can be supporting this entire endeavor in terms of having police on overtime doing traffic control. If there are infrastructure issues to be dealt with, we need CBSA, the BC Ministry of Transportation, and WSDOT to all be participating in that. And they have been very, very good about wanting to work with us on those issues. We've been included in all of the conversations, all the phone calls, and we'll keep working at that. And I think over the next, between now probably and Easter, you'll see additional changes made, especially on the truck route and at CBSA, to help facilitate that traffic. Unfortunately, it's left some misinformation out there. There, so far as Bill and I, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, there's no intention to close either one of the northbound ramps. There is no intention to make either one of those ramps a permanently Nexus only. There is discussion about continuing the process of, when traffic's really backed up, if we need to make one of those ramps, probably the truck route ramp, a Nexus only northbound, and have it controlled so that there is so that we're giving onus and supporting those folks who have gone all the extra effort to get a Nexus card to have that lane that they can use. So,
Gary, is there anything else I should bring up?
That would just mean the people coming get gas, or us local people that wanted to go to Canada would have to go down to each street.
At a period when it was, if one of those lanes had an officer there or a sign there that was Nexus only, that is what it would mean. And if you want to, boy, if you're saving money on gas and you live in Surrey or Right Rock, I would encourage you to get your Nexus card. That's Blaine's a great place to buy your gas and stock up on some other staples at the same time. So.
I think that we may have to do some work with our local business people and meet with them fairly soon and kind of talk to them about what's going on and what we and hear what they have to say as well. One of the things that I've heard, the Bill Beck letter, and then over the weekend I had a chance to talk to a business owner. The concern is that if coming into town becomes so uncertain to people who are going north, they're not going to do it. They're going to just bypass Blaine because it isn't worth coming into town and then finding yourself stuck with no way to get back on the truck route or I-5. And that experience would cause you not to do it. And word of mouth gets around, and the
word then is, you know, stay out of blank, because you're going to get, you're not, you're going to have a difficult time getting back into the border crossing traffic. And so that's the concern, because there's a sense that, you know, that traffic is important to our businesses, and if it goes away, they're going to feel it. And they have the most recent experience with the roundabouts construction to draw upon, and they feel like that they were, you know, that they could see what can happen when the traffic is affected, and they see this as being something kind of similar that, you know, that might occur. And so we need to communicate with them. And frankly, if this is, you know, if what they're saying is truly happening, then we need to, you know, to get back to WSDOT and talk about, you know, the problems that they're raising and how they might be addressed. So anyway, we have a little work to do, and I think we need to quickly get after it.
Good.
We spent a considerable amount of time discussing this at the last IMTC meeting as well. One of the things that Todd Carlson had discussed there was the idea of also flipping the Nexus lane at the Peace Arch, which doesn't address keeping the Nexus lane away from the building, and so you've got that issue, but it would, in some respects, take some of the Nexus flow issue on I-5 away. The one thing that we've talked at several meetings at IMTC about, and I'm still not entirely clear why WSDOT isn't addressing this, is that once the construction was completed on I-5 northbound to the border, we never went back in to put any of those stanchions demarking the Nexus lane. And with the way that that was constructed, you've got a considerable dump lane where you could at least come back part way, do some better demarcation of the Nexus lane, and I think take away a lot of that problem. And I mean, you cross as often as I do, Chief. You know that when you're coming back into the States, the fact that they have put those all back alleviates most of the problems you used to have with Nexus. Why we don't seem to be able to do that on that very small stretch as you come back up towards D, I'm still not clear about. Todd tries to explain to us each time we meet at IMTC, and I don't get it yet.
Yeah, it's, you and I are in the same boat there, and we've had the same conversations. They have been talking about the maintenance folks, Tony Hernandez and Todd have been talking about putting in not stanchions, but lane markings, pavement markings, creating a don't stop in the box area to provide more of a merge point. And we had hoped that we might see some of that before the weather turned sour on us here in the fall. And we continue to have those conversations as well.
Gary, did I understand you correctly that you were going to contemplate having a public meeting on this issue? Or?
Well, I think that at minimum we need to offer to meet with our downtown businesses, and maybe have them come up early one morning or sometime when it's available, you know, when they're available, and just sit down and hear their concerns and tell them what we know. Because the word out there is that they're closing the ramps. Yes. That's, you know, that's what they're hearing, you know, how that rumors get going. And so they think that's what's happening. You know, I had one business the other night, so upset by it that he was talking about leaving. I think he was just having a bad day. Nevertheless, it was very concerned. So we will, I'm not sure we'll have a big public meeting. We could, but I'd like to get to the business people as quickly as we can, to Miguel and people at the Red Caboose and Marv Adams and Blaine Bouquet and that group, who Mike Hill, and try to get with them.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Mike just got back from New York City. He wanted to do a PowerPoint presentation, but I told him we didn't have time. Michael?
No report.
Jeff?
No report.
Sherry?
No report.
City manager? Two things. One is the Public Works recruiting effort. I reported this morning to a couple of the department heads that I meet with on Monday that we had about, last time I checked, about 9 applicants. The search firm sent me an email this afternoon. It's now up to 25. So it's a good response. The folks at the search firm are reviewing those applications right now. They'll be sending them. I should get copies of them tomorrow. Lynn and I will get on the phone later this week. They will have categorized the applications as they normally do, and don't bother, maybe, and these look good. We'll go through those and narrow them down to a number that they can then begin doing some reference checking on, and we'll come back and narrow it down to 3 or 4 that we'll actually interview. And so that's kind of what that is, moving along. Once we get the applications in, it can move pretty quickly. And in fact, you want it to move quickly, because the more you drag it out, the better the chances are that your good candidates are going to find somewhere else to go. And so we need to move quickly now that we have the applications. But I'm very happy with the number. I think that's more than Lyndon got when they applied, which doesn't surprise me. Comparing Blaine with Lyndon, there's no comparison.
Well taken.
The other thing is the Banner Bank project. That's moving along on several different paths. Jeff has been working with our financial advisor in putting together a financing package. It looks as though we have something put together for a private placement with an investment group out of
Atlanta. SunTrust.
SunTrust out of Atlanta. They've made a pretty good offer, a proposal to us. We had several proposals from banks and investment groups. We need to do some, Jeff has submitted some additional credit information. We'll probably have a telephone conversation, a credit call, to answer some of their questions. But it appears that that's going pretty well. Michael has been doing a very, very good job in kind of coordinating the office space and how it's going to be used, and what the improvements are going to have to be in order to accommodate the way that we think that the two floors ought to be configured. And we had a good meeting the other day, and I think generally agreed on what the office configurations need to be and where everybody can go, and what are something that fits our needs. He will be meeting with the architects later this week, to kind of go through that so that they can begin thinking about what it is that needs to be done. It appears that we've come up with a plan that the improvements of which are fairly minimal given the task that we have. It's not going to be without expense, but we pretty much limited it as much as possible, I think, that the costs of doing any kind of modifications to the third and fourth floor. So that part of it is moving pretty well. John has been working with the sellers and lawyers for the sellers to put together a timeline for the various requirements that we have in the purchase sales agreement. He'll be talking tonight a little bit about that. And Brian has been working vigorously trying to get leases lined up. My concern is that we should not go into this if we have any big holes in the leases. And we should feel, if we don't have them signed up, we should feel fairly certain that we're going to have leases with the key tenants of the building. And that's looking pretty good, but I still think that we have some work to do, especially with the law firm that's moving from the second floor down to the first floor.
We're happy.
You're happy, good. So that's kind of where we are. It's moving. It's all moving in the right direction, and I think that it's all going to come together pretty quickly once we get the financing in place. It's going to move very rapidly, and I expect this is going to be done mid-February, something like that.
Questions?
That's all I have. Any questions,
buddy?
I have a comment. I just wanted to mention that I have started a new job with an employer who happens to be in the Banner Bank building.
Oh, good.
One of the tenants. It's a wholesale jewelry company called JSN.
That's our big tenant, isn't it? That's the one that we hope that they agree to take some additional space on that floor.
Yeah, they've been talking about that, and I'm office manager now.
Good for you.
Yeah. Carrie, are we
so
going?
Does that mean you'll be wearing big diamonds?
I have yet to explore the employee benefits.
Next time we see Bonnie, she'll have a rock and a big diamond earring.
You never know.
Like Liz Taylor.
I thought I'd take that slow.
Carrie, are the original estimates for modifications being held, or are we?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know?
Because we haven't priced some of the stuff that we're doing. I mean, I think Michael has been encouraged to try to keep the tenant improvements, within a reasonable amount. But there's a lot more to it than there's all of the computer stuff, the wiring and telephones and security. We're going to have to, in order to accommodate Bonnie's new company, we're going to have to look at securing that floor. And so Mike has been looking at that. In the planning that we've done with our space allocation, security in that building is a lot more, the need is a lot greater than we have, for example, in this building. And so there are going to be some modifications that have to be done to the building that will cost some money. So we have a new revised. We don't have cost estimates, but our budget's about $400,000, isn't it?
Yeah.
About $400,000.
It's too early to have those budget estimates. Okay. We basically just came up where we'd like to make changes and move walls, and we don't have a contract with the architect yet to even get to the point of what those plans would look like and what the estimates.
But that'll move pretty quickly once you get done.
I hope so. I didn't want. We're not moving so fast that we get ahead of the purchase.
That's good, though. Glad to hear that. That's encouraging.
Gary and Jeff have made it really clear I can't spend any money on remodeling until we actually own it.
Super. Okay. Anyone have any else? Any questions?
Anything else? Mayor, that's it.
Okay. Calendar is as indicated.
Yeah, let's see if there's anything there that we just want to make sure you understand. Monday's a holiday.
Special council meeting.
Sherry, the January 19th meeting, do we need to have any show of hands on that one? Or?
Yeah, we will need a quorum and a time. I do want to mention that at 9:30 is the Parks and Cemetery Board, so possibly meeting before then. It can be a quick meeting like the last meeting was, which is
9 o'clock.
You mean a two-minute meeting?
I can make it. Yeah.
Quarter after nine.
So is okay, Clark?
What time are we suggesting, Sherry? Is it 9 o'clock?
8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I was thinking probably 9 o'clock.
We do not. Yeah.
So we've got tomorrow
call. I can make it at 9 o'clock.
So we got four. As long as, and if you need me, you can just call me. You can run across the street.
Find a new jewelry.
Yes. Flashing.
Can you try some samples there?
Yeah, we have four, and I can come if someone is unable to make it.
Okay.
And you probably
if need be.
It's a little above my earlier than I usually get out here.
Just make sure you're up and dressed. Just in case.
Come down in your world.
You guys are pretty cool.
Anything else on the calendar?
No.
Okay, public hearings, we have none. Consent agenda. We have approval of bills. I guess they break down into two parts. Sherry, 2011, $32,972.73. And for 2012, $137,512.95. Approval of payroll for $460,444.54. And approval of the December 27th 2011 City Council meetings. We have a motion to approve.
Move approval. Second.
Paul and Paul was. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed 7-0. We're down to council action items. The first item is the committee for commission and board appointments. I believe we have four appointments. Is that correct, Sherry?
Yes.
We have two for the planning commission.
Those and have to be done.
Yes, mm-hmm. They have to be done individually. Can we have a motion for an appointment to the planning commission?
Richard May, planning commission.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Mr. May is approved 7-0. Do I have a second appointment to the Planning Commission?
Here go, Parks and Cemeteries.
Okay. You have a second?
So you said Planning Commission.
We'll accept Mr. Dahl for the Parks and Cemetery Board. Clark. Okay, all in favor for Mr. Dahl for the Park and Cemetery Board?
Aye.
Aye.
No opposed. No
and we have to see if he will take that,
yes.
Of course, contingent
on
that.
We will uh-huh. See if he's agreeable to that. For the, I'm at a loss here, Sherry, because I don't have the papers in front of me, but for the Planning Commission. Do you have another opening? Do we have a
nominee? John LeBron.
Second.
Okay. That was Dennis. Seconded by Charlie. All in favor, Mr. LeBron?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Approved. Parks and Cemetery. We have Joan.
I'd like to nominate Joan.
I'll second
that. Go ahead.
Second.
All in favor of appointing Joan to the Parks and Cemetery?
Aye.
Aye.
That pretty well concludes that. Isn't that, Sherry? We got everybody that we...
Yes.
Okay, we have... Are we going to send out another notice on the ones we haven't filled?
Debbie is working on the DCAC.
Okay.
Except two openings, I think two.
So do you think we need to pay to actually advertise yet, or
Are you able to coerce somebody to consider that?
Put out the feeler before we spend some money on it. Let's try the old-fashioned one.
Okay, so we'll try some feelers on that. Okay.
Mayor, just a yes, clarification or point of information for Ken. BTAC is that you are not only appointed to BTAC, you are the chairman of BTAC.
Okay.
The ordinance indicates that the city council member will serve as the chairman of the of BTAC. So you not only are there, but you have you are running the meeting.
All right.
Mr. City Manager.
Yes, sir.
Since Ken is not able to attend the BTAC meeting at 7:30 tomorrow morning, do you have any objections if I come along and?
Do I have any objections if the mayor is there? Do I get to have an objection?
Certainly.
Not at all.
Okay, I'll pass the baton then to you to start the meeting. Okay, I promised Debbie that I would be there at the next meeting. Okay. Next item is the Martin Properties Access Agreement.
The you recall at the last meeting, council took the action of tabling the ordinance that was before you for the condemnation, directed us to work with Mr. Martin and his representatives to see if we could come to an agreement that allowed for the city to access the property to, in order to conduct some field studies that needed to be accomplished to determine whether, what we're proposing to do could actually be done. And that we were to bring back to you a report on whether we have reached that agreement, and if not, recommend to you that you move forward with the adoption of the ordinance that's currently on the table. Happy to report that that Mr. Martin and the city have reached an agreement. An access agreement has been drafted. Mr. Martin has signed that agreement, and John will talk to you about the agreement and then walk you through the process that we need to follow in order to get this done.
Thank you. We you have a draft that since there's been some cleanup since you came to you in the council packet, but the gist of the agreement is that the access has been granted. The term starts on signing and ends on December 31st of the year. We are allowed to do field investigations as we determine necessary. They could include wetland delineation, geotechnical analysis, surveys for potential utility routes over, under, across the property. It encompasses actually four properties, not the initial two that we had identified. What we have to do before we go on to the property is notify them the date and time we anticipate, what entities we anticipate, and how many people will be on site at any particular time, and tell them what the purpose is for. There's a general indemnification that will indemnify them for any damage or injuries caused by our being on their property, and they indemnify us from any negligent acts or intentional misconduct that someone gets hurt when we're on their property because of something they've done that was negligent. And they've represented to us there's no hidden or latent hazards. We don't want to have something that could be dangerous on the property that they know about, but we don't. And that's the sum of the access agreement. The changes were, again, that we cleaned up the language on the term that it said, be clear that it starts on execution and ends on the 31st of this year, and change willful misconduct to on the indemnity provisions and replace it with intentional acts. And other than that, with some formatting and numbering was the changes since the draft you had. Mr. Greenough.
Question. I am legally naive. Why is the grantor, Brian Page, on the...
It's representatives. The notice is on behalf of the grantor.
Mm-hmm. And the grantor on the first page is the Martin family.
Well, these are where the notices are to be sent to. Notices to the grantor would be sent to Brian Page.
Kara.
The attorney. We could say Kara, but
Kara.
The grantor is the Robert D. Family LLC. Notices, just as noted, the grantee is the City of Blaine, not John Sitkin. But notices on behalf of this matter would come to me.
Any other questions?
I move to accept it.
Yeah, actually, what you just do is authorize the city manager to sign this. That's
just
the motion.
One. I saw one before.
You don't have to pass the motion?
Just authorize this. Yes, you should. Just authorize the city manager to sign the agreement.
Okay. Harry, could I get just a little clarification?
Sure you may.
The time frame is for 1 year, basically. Mm-hmm. And so all the work has to be done within that 1 year.
We expect to be done well within the year. It should not take that long at all. But without having worked through all the consultants and got all the proposals, I didn't want to cut us off inadvertently by saying May 31st or July 31st. And I wouldn't be shocked if we were into July or August on this.
Thanks.
Okay. And the motion is to authorize the city manager to sign
the access agreement
as presented. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
If I can jump right into the next item, I think city manager teed this up already. You have on your table the ordinance authorizing the condemnation. Robert Rules of Order, to get particular, that's now on the table as a council for you to vote on, yea or nay. Our recommendation is that you have a motion to remove it from the table, followed by a motion to table the motion, the action on the motion, for indefinitely until we have a report to come back and made with a subsequent recommendation. So it's two motions. Motions to remove from the table. Technically, it's not in the control of the moving party because you took action to put it on the table, so you have to take an action to remove it from the table. The next thing would be to indefinitely table the motion.
I make a motion to remove it from the table.
I'll second it.
Any questions? Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Now, what we would recommend is that you table them indefinitely until staff can bring back a report, what its findings, and then we could bring the motion back as originally presented, or maybe as a modified, bring the ordinance back as maybe originally presented, or possibly as modified, depending upon the findings of the report.
City Manager?
we've had a number of discussions about the process. My recommendation would be not to use the term table again. Mm-hmm. Table as a specific meaning in Robert's Rules of Order, and something cannot be tabled indefinitely. So my recommendation is to change the word table to defer.
Defer or postpone consideration.
That's right. Either one, I don't care. But you defer the approval of the ordinance to an indefinite date in the future.
Okay. That's correct.
Would anyone like to make a motion to that effect?
Yes,
I move that action on ordinance 11-2799-A be deferred until the review of the Martin property is completed and the staff can evaluate the findings and prepare a recommendation to the council.
I second.
Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Everyone knows that we've talked about if the ordinance was to come back before you for consideration, you'd go through the notice process and as had gone before. So there would be the notice that was provided before what happened.
I think the other thing, now that that you have taken these two actions, Bill has been working to develop the scope of work that needs to be accomplished in this period of time and working with the selection of consultants to accomplish that work. Bill, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I haven't been working on it. We sent out the a request for statement qualifications to four of our firms on our on-call roster to accomplish the survey mapping and wetlands critical areas, basically all the field investigation. And the intent is to We'll have the statements of qualifications select and then bring a recommendation to you next council meeting.
Questions?
Good to go.
Okay, the next item of business is Resolution 1600-12, Delegating Authority, Banner Bank Building.
Well, Commission, previously, you, as you recall, in the purchase and sale agreement, there is a... The purchase and sale agreement for the Banner Bank Building has a contingency date of January 15th. That expires this Sunday. The process would be is that if you don't take action, the contingency would be deemed waived without any action, and it would proceed. If you want to terminate the agreement, you have to terminate by Sunday. If you want to extend the agreement, we have to make that deliver a check of $10,000 as the extension earnest money deposit that we would forward. So, just because we're not going to have a meeting on Sunday or the holiday on Monday, typical course is that you would delegate the authority to the city manager to make the decision of whether to terminate or the mayor terminate or extend the agreement. And we've structured this that if the mayor and the city manager agree that it's in the best interest of the city to terminate the agreement because something that comes up in the next 5 days, they would have the authority to do that if nothing's expected. If they determine because leases aren't tied down or some circumstance to extend another 30 days, a feasible period, feasibility period, another 30 days, they can do that. And the authority to appropriate the $10,000 is included in this delegation of authority. Trying to save you having to come back for a special meeting. Lastly, should the 15th pass, then you're obligated under the agreement to replace the earnest money, the note, the promissory note that's on file with the escrow agent, with the earnest money deposit of $25,000. Your delegation of authority would be your action now that should the 15th pass, Jeff has the authority to appropriate the funds and place that $25,000 on deposit with the escrow agent. So we've tried to consolidate the actions that would typically happen, you know, by a private party just by action on a few signatures or a writing of a check, delegate that to the city manager to make those decisions this week if it's deemed necessary. Again, we don't expect any reason to come up to terminate. The check and balances, the mayor and the city manager would have to agree to terminate. Both have to take that action and agree. Then they would have to also extend it. They would consult and agree on that. So that's the delegation of authority. It allows us to administratively handle this through the weekend.
Questions for John?
Any questions?
John, on the termination, that could be done by the mayor and the city
manager? And the city manager jointly, not unilaterally. That was designed to provide the checks and balance.
And there's no problem in not involving the council prior?
Well, that's why you're taking this action now. You would delegate that authority. If you want to retain the authority, that's fine. We may have to have a special meeting over the weekend.
Okay.
Sunday.
Okay.
Move that we adopt Resolution 1600-12.
A second.
Okay, Sherry. Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Back to my computer here. That concludes the council action items. Is there any unfinished business? Any council new business?
I just wanted to comment that, you know, the Giving Tree was done this year and actually turned out to be really good. It's a great community support for that. There was like 1,500 kid presents and stuff like that. There was like 215 families for having kids for help with getting Christmas presents. Mm. Figured it probably spent $40,000 to $50,000 for these kids. So the community is really good.
Any other comments? We have no other reports that I'm aware of.
No. And Mayor,
as a placeholder, we put an executive session on your agenda for collective bargaining. We're not prepared to come back. We have a couple of meetings this week that we need to get through before we can make any recommendations. So there will be no need to have an executive session this week.
So if there's no other...
I know that disappoints
you. Yeah.
I know.
Puts a scar here.
If there's no other business, can I adjourn the meeting? Adjourn. So adjourn.
Great. Score.